All right, everyone. Welcome to the Early Childhood Coach with the Child Care Experience podcast about all things early childhood. We are here every Monday where we will be discussing early childhood trending topics, interviewing special guests, and of course, better ways to improve our early childhood profession. I am your host, Rashawn Webb, and welcome to all of my new listeners. Welcome back to all our OG listeners and our faithful listeners from all over the world. We salute you and we thank you. Today is a special day, as every day is special, but this one is extra special, not only because you're here with me, America, and from all over the world, but because of our guest today. And our guest today knows me in this industry and in field probably better than most, because she was with me when I first began working in an early childhood center at the tender age of 16. And believe it or not, for the past 20 minutes, we have been trying to get this podcast thing together, and it's been a journey. And but we're here with you. And before I introduce this person, let me just say, I remember when I first started working at this center, and it was extremely intimidating, but I know I loved working with children, and I did a lot of things wrong. And the person that I worked for was not a coach. She wasn't a mentor. She wasn't someone that I can go to that would help me feel better about what I was doing right, wrong, or indifferent. And then this person was promoted, and I picture her walking down the hall with her black shirt and her blue jeans. And it, depending on what day it was, she had some black boots, or she had on her tennis shoes. And it was so much fun when she became a leader, and the other person was still there, but this individual was with me in the very, very beginning when I first started. She was the first assistant director that I ever worked for. And it was never working for, right? There's a big difference. It was never working for, it was working with. And so I am so elated to present to you the first assistant director I have ever worked for. Again, this is 20 something years ago. The first assistant director I ever worked for, Miss Hilda Garza.
Hello, everyone.
Ooh, girl, I am excited for this.
I am excited. We go way back.
Way back.
And way back.
I want the people to know. Tell them about you. Who is Hilda Garza?
Who am I? I am a person who started as a babysitter, like ooh, a lot of us have.
Yeah.
And I became a nanny for this really rich family, right? And I felt so bad for these kids who didn't have the love or attention that they deserved. Mm-hmm. And it was so self-satisfying and just being able to teach these kids who weren't mine.
Right.
How much joy they brought to my life. And after that, I decided I was going to be a veterinarian, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I decided, you know what? This is what I want to do. I want to be a teacher, right? Like, I was in high school and I'm like, I'm going to be a teacher. Well, fast forward a couple of years, graduated, decided and learned that I am not a very good person to put in a college lecture hall. Because okay. I will totally ignore you. That's not my thing.
Okay.
So I left school and then I started working in daycare. And okay. Who did I meet there? Mr. So I started at my first daycare and I started as an after-school teacher. Nobody told me how difficult that was going to be. Okay.
Yes.
And I was, you know, maybe 20 at the time, and I didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't. But I knew I had a good connection with them. And within 3 months, they promoted me to a pre-K teacher, which I was like, wow, you know, this is great. I'm in the money, yes. Right? Like, this is awesome. Did it for a while. Loved it. Great connection. And then all of a sudden, like, daycare life, things change.
Yes.
You know, and then they're like, hey, do you want to be an assistant director? Because we're making some changes. And I'm like, sure, because I know everything, right? And I started being a daycare director, assistant director. Mm-hmm. And the person who was above me, right, who's supposed to be a mentor, wasn't much of a mentor. She was more of a tyrant. And she applied, and because of her age, I guess, was hired. And she didn't have the qualifications. Mm. So she ended up, you know, getting her temporary license. She actually worked as a manager at a Sears and Roebuck. So you go from Sears retail to daycare.
Right.
Big no-no, right? Yeah. Biggest mistake of her. So here she is being a tyrant, bossing people around. And at that moment, I knew that is not what I want to be.
Right.
Like, that is not. And I remember coming up to you, and I remember, I don't know what it was she said to you, but it was more like something about the lines of, you don't belong in childcare. And granted, here's this 16-year-old girl. And I remember how sad I was because you were crying. And I thought to myself, you don't belong in daycare. This is not how you treat people.
Right.
You know, and I remember telling you, don't listen to her. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
You go, girl. You keep doing you. Yeah. And then I ended up leaving, right? You ended up leaving. I ended up leaving. Yep. We lost touch for a while. Yeah. And then I ran into you a few years later, and you were in college. And then I ran into you again recently.
Yeah. And
look at you, daycare owner.
Oh, girl.
You know what? I am so proud of you, of the woman that you became, and how strong you are, and how much you bring to the childcare community, honestly. I knew she was wrong. I told you she was wrong.
Yeah.
That's how I ended up. You know, I ended up there. I went to another center and was there for quite a while, and then decided, you know what? I'm going to go into teaching, you know, and I went to school, did my thing. And then just recently went, you know, got married, COVID hit, and then I was home for a while. I was bored. So I went back to teaching. Over the years, I learned a lot. Yeah. I learned what not to do. But the one thing that stuck with me was what I didn't want to be as a director. Eventually, what I didn't want to be.
Yeah.
I wanted a culture of positivity. I wanted to be, you know, obviously it's a business, and you don't want to have, you know, not everybody's going to be your best friend. You know, business is business.
Right, right.
But I also was a firm believer in they're human beings, and everyone should be given a chance and an opportunity. Everybody can learn.
Yes.
You have to mentor and believe that they can do it.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I wanted to be. So I went to teaching, and I was teaching at a charter school. And charter schools, obviously, they want a lot from you, right? They want a lot from these kids. So here I am teaching pre-K, and it's all about scores and data, right?
Yeah.
4-year-olds. And I remember my principal telling me, why are your kids outside at recess? Three of your kids didn't have very high scores. They missed it by like half a point. They need to all go back inside and redo the lesson. And in my head, I thought, why am I punishing the other children? And I shouldn't punish them. They're 4.
Mm-hmm.
By half a point. And at that moment, that day, I remember sitting at my desk at the end of the day, and I was about to go to PD, and my phone rang. Right. Because I was already done with daycare. Right. I had been at a daycare for 8 years, and I was an assistant, and I learned so much, and I did so much, and I felt like I wasn't valued. Yeah. And so I had left, went into teaching. And as I sat there crying, thinking, this is not what I signed up for. This is not the way I want to teach. I'm not going to punish my children. And my phone rang, and out of the blue, an owner called me and said, hey, I came across your resume and you were highly recommended. Come talk to me. Just come talk to me. And I was like, I don't want to go back to daycare. I don't want to do this. I'm not doing it. But then the next day I came back with the same feeling of, this is not how I'm going to treat my children. And I took them outside again, and I was written up again. And I said, you know what? I'm done. Okay. Yeah. I'll meet with you. So I went and met with him, totally not what I expected. And he said, you know, come tour my center and tell me what you think. I did. And I went back and I said, how are you open? I would have shut you down a month ago, 2 months ago. And he said, great, you want a job? And I'm like, wait a minute. And he said, here's what I'm offering. And I'm like, oh, definitely more than a teacher salary. Thank you. And I thought about it. And I said, you know what? I have to lay it out on the table. If I'm going to run your center, you have to let me run the center.
Mm.
I don't like being micromanaged.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I expect. This is what I want. I will show you that I will get your enrollment up. He literally had 30 kids and 5 employees.
Mm.
Place was falling apart. It was dirty. It was horrible. I said, in a month, I can guarantee you an additional 20 kids. And he kind of laughed and he said, okay, great. Just turn it around. So I ended up leaving. I gave them a month advance, right? I was like, I'm leaving, find another teacher, whatever. I show up for my first day of work. If you knew my owner, you would be like, that sounds like him. He hands me the key and he said, oh, I just fired the other director about 30 minutes ago, but here's your staff. Good luck. I'll see you in a few hours. I didn't see the man for a week. Okay.
Oh my God. For a week.
And I'm just like, okay. So at the end of the day, after closing, I met with the staff and I said, look, I understand you're unhappy and I understand this is a lot going on. If you stick with me, I will make sure you're taken care of and we're going to turn this place around. Those 5 people stayed.
Mm.
And I practically was begging families not to leave because they were so unhappy. They stayed.
Right. Right.
And as the week progressed, I worked around the clock and it was just me and an assistant director that was there. And of course, she didn't trust me much because I'm a stranger, right?
Right.
And within a week, they were like, "Are what do you mean you're scrubbing floors and you're wiping walls and you're," and I'm like, of course I am.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we've never had a director do that. They're always right in your office. And I said, oh no, honey, this is a team effort. We are a team, but you're the boss. But you maintain the center because you're the ones that do the hard work.
Yeah.
I have a hard job, but yours is harder.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I gained their confidence. And within a week, we had turned that place around.
Wow.
Long story short, we're at 120 kids a year and a half later, 2 years now. But within the year, I had 120 kids in my center. And I am up to 23 employees.
Wow.
Still have my original 5. They are my mentors and my OGs that train everybody else that come in.
Wow.
And I am proud to say that we have built a culture of positivity. I have a really great connection with my team. They're amazing. Yeah. I have young ones and old ones, OGs and youngins, and Rashawns that didn't know what they were doing. But guess what? Now they know what they were doing because in my center, no one is allowed to say this person doesn't belong in childcare.
Ooh.
No one's allowed to say that, because if you say that about somebody, that means you're not doing your part as a mentor.
Yeah.
To teach them the correct way to do it.
Ooh.
And as long as our kids are loved, I don't see anything wrong with what they're doing.
Right.
Those skills can be taught. Love cannot be taught. It has to come from the heart.
Yep.
So that's me. That's the gist of it. I'm married. I have one child who is 15. She is my world. And she also knows that my daycare kids are my world. She's my favorite, but she knows I love my babies.
Yep.
I am 100% invested and committed to my center. I say my center, I don't own it, but it's like I do, because the owner's basically like, it's yours.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a great feeling to have that trust.
Yes.
So that's me in a nutshell. I'm a little rough around the edges. Rashawn can tell you. I'm not, you know, but I'm here.
Yes. Wow. You said a mouthful.
I got a mouthful today, girl.
I know. We just need to press record and just talk. Because there's always something to say.
Always.
And you know, you said a lot of things, and you started from the bottom, right? And you know, here you are. You started from the here's the keys. It looks like this. Here you are, here you go, I'm gone. So I want to, we have so much to delve into, but I want to talk about when he left the key. I know his name, so I'm not gonna say his name, but when he left the keys, right? Because you basically had the keys to the kingdom for all intents and purposes, and you did not have someone to dictate how you to run the kingdom.
No, ma'am.
Right. And so he leaves you the keys, right? And, you know, and we live in a world now where people want to be babied and pacified, and they want, you know, someone to hold their hand every step of the way, negating the fact that the person holding, you know, that's leading you has duties.
Correct.
How did you feel? Like, what was your thoughts? Like, I mean, this man just met you. He don't even know you. He hands the keys to his business over to you and then leaves you for quote hours, but it ends up being a week.
A week.
What is going through your mind?
I thought to myself, either they have a really bad write-up and mm-hmm. I'm about to, you know, inherit something really bad.
Yeah.
He doesn't care, or we're starting off on a platform of trust.
Right.
I gave this person my word and he's holding me to it. The expectation is there. I gave him expectations from day one of mm-hmm. what I didn't want him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he agreed, and he was keeping his end of the bargain.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to lie to you. I went home that night and I was like, oh my God, what did I get myself into?
Yeah.
Why did I open my big mouth?
Right? We always do that.
Man, I'm telling you what. I cried. I cried. And I, you know what? I was like, you know what? This is it. Like, you opened your mouth. Now you hold yourself accountable.
Yep.
And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
And I remember I said, the 30 kids are staying. We're doing good. By the end of the week, we had already enrolled two families, which was great. When I worked at the charter school, I also did enrollment for them. So I love to do enrollment. Enrollment's mm-hmm. my thing. Like, I love it. Okay. I don't have a problem with it. And it worked out, you know, and he was like, great. How are you doing? Like, he didn't even ask what's going on in the center. What do you need?
Ooh.
He was just like, how are you doing? And I said, I'm doing great. Oh, great. Wow. And I remember the conversation about, how's your daughter? Like, I'm thinking in my head, hello, I'm running your business. Do you not want to know?
You know, that is so important, because he pretty much gave you the keys, walked out. And then when you did see him, he didn't ask anything about the business.
No, he didn't. It was more personal than anything. And, and he said, the center looks great. Mm. Wow. It's so clean now. Mm. And I said, well, I have this to-do list. And he's like, great, send it to me. And then again, didn't see him for another week. He would call, like, he would text me every day. He would text me, good morning. Good morning, sir. Oh. How are you? Oh, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Have a great day. You too.
Wow.
I was already in collections. He had outstanding balances, got him down to zero. And he said, hey, good job on that. How did you do that? I'm not taking your kid unless you pay. Right. He's like, great. Keep it up.
No,
that was
pay,
it.
No pay, no stay.
Yeah. How are you doing? What are you having for dinner tonight? Like, it was just kind of very just.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, he's either crazy or he really wants me to take ownership and do my thing. And I did. I did exactly that. And I have been doing it for 2 years.
Let's talk about ownership. One of the things that I heard you say, and I've been told when I was, you know, just a director, I want you to take ownership. And I've always considered myself the Amelia Bedelia. Amelia Bedelia was one of my favorite characters. And she was one of those that was like, you said it, she's going to do exactly what you said.
Yep.
If, you know, all the euphemisms, you can't use euphemisms around Amelia Bedelia, because she is going to think, yes, what you really, you know, mean to say. But one of the things I heard you say, and it has been said to me, is I want you to take ownership. And I think about that, because it doesn't necessarily mean ownership in its truest form.
Right.
It is an ownership of pride, right? Right. Would you say pride and acceptance of, hey, although I'm the director, this is still my, like, this is my program. This is my baby where I'm working with and towards. How did you navigate that, right? How did you decipher, like, I know I'm not the owner and they know I'm not the owner, but yet I need to take ownership of this program that I'm a director over.
So, you know, it's funny because he didn't even say take ownership. I just assumed that's what he meant because I'm like, he's not okay. So I just took over. Like I'm doing this work. I'm investing my time in it. So it's mine.
Yeah. So yeah.
You may own it, but this is mine.
Yeah.
And so I think that comes, honestly, that's not something that's taught. I think that's something that just kind of rises from people.
Mm-hmm.
I have been put in very uncomfortable situations where even as, you know, working for a charter school, it's very demanding. It's very fast paced. It's very much teamwork. It's
right.
If I learned anything from them, it was that, right? Teamwork right. and check-ins and doing all that kind of stuff. And I was like, man, if this place is going to work, I need to run it as if it was mine.
Right.
I need to not have balances. I need to clean this place up. I need this place to be a reflection of my expectations, of my employees, of my families. And how do you do that? You clean house.
Yep.
I mean, and in more ways than one.
Yes.
You know, and it's not something that's taught. It's that pride. You know me, I'm a very prideful person in everything that I do.
Yes.
And for me, that was it. I gave my word and I'm going to be true to my word. I'm going to be true to me.
Right.
And to me, that's very important, you know, because you can earn a paycheck, right? You can go to a job and say, hey, I'm going to give you 8 hours out of my day. And that's all you get because I don't own this place.
Right.
You know what? If I had that attitude, I wouldn't have 120 kids enrolled. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have my five OGs that started with me. I wouldn't have my team who will stay late for me, who will do anything I ask them to do. Right. I wouldn't have that. And I think that's very important that I invest my time physically, emotionally, mentally into the center because it's a reflection of me. And for some people, it's just a paycheck. For me, it's not just a paycheck.
Absolutely.
It's a part of my life. Does it consume my life? No. But we all know there is no such thing as 8 hours a day as a director or as an owner of a daycare.
Yep.
There's not.
Absolutely. There is not.
You know, you're trying to walk out the door and parents are stopping you. I'm not going to walk away from my parents if they're having a bad day. I'm going to be there for them because we're an extended family.
Right.
I want their kids to know that this is their home away from home.
Right.
And we're just one big family.
Yeah.
So that's part of taking ownership. I may not own it, but it's mine. If that makes sense, you know?
Yes. You've invested your time, your blood, your sweat, your tears, your the things you learn, right? Because we're involved in some of the same things.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that you learn, you invested in it and you're taking it back. And that's kind of what, you know, a mama bird does. She takes the worm in her mouth and gives it to her babies. So that's amazing. Okay, so let's jump into some questions. What are some unique aspects or features of your center that sets you apart from others? We know, like, we've got our big centers, you know, our corporate centers and our, you know, our centers in the school districts and all that, blah, blah. Right. But then we have those that I have the philosophy of reach one, teach one. Like, we can still reach and teach a child. They're not a number. Their family is not a decimal. Their family is not a statistic where we have to have X, Y, and Z. So what are some unique features of the center that you currently work at?
As far as features, I would say, are we fancy? No. We are honest and we're very open with what we offer. I don't take appointments to come see my center. I say, come in. Come see the reality of daycare.
Yes. Because
when you come in and you take that tour, I want you to hear the two-year-old screaming and throwing a fit. And I want you to see how my teachers calm that child down.
Yes.
Because that is the reality. There is no fake. There is, you know, I used to work in a center where we have to make appointments and I want to schedule a tour. And the director would go around and me as an assistant, hey, we have a tour coming in at 1:00, everybody on their best behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the truth. Lots of high-end tenders do that, you know? You know that. And I think what makes us unique is that the fact that my staff knows from day one, you better be ready to go at all times. Because people are just going to come in and visit and do their thing. And, you know, that I think that sets us what sets, I mean, my, I feel, I mean, you've been in my center. My staff is friendly. My staff, you know, my center is busy.
There's
all sorts of stuff going on.
A lot of moving parts.
Yes. Lots of moving parts, but you know what? We are who we are and we don't candy coat it. We are not for everybody. And I tell people we are very loud. My teachers are loud. They're very like, yeah, let's go. And they're dancing because that's what it should be. It should be fun. And you're not going to come into my center and find everybody very quiet and very Mary Poppin voice, because that's not reality.
Right.
What you're going to hear in my center is we're doing story time and Johnny, stop licking the floor. Because that is what daycare is. It's not beautiful fantasy, you know? So I think that's what sets me apart as far as, you know, I've been to centers, I've toured centers where, wow, it's so quiet and it's so fancy. And you're going to walk down the hall and somebody's going to be screaming their head off. And because you know, you're not wearing the right color shirt or you didn't stop and high five them or whatever the case might be. So I think we're very transparent.
I agree. I had the pleasure of going to your school as the PD specialist for your staff. And man, I love a busy school. I love a school that is free thinking and free flowing and is, you know, you don't have to put on a show to impress a parent. They will know right off the bat that you're faking it just so that way my child can go here. And I love that it was not quiet. It was loud, but it was loud and hustling and bustling with the noise of children being children. And we've been in programs where, you know, because of the nature of the program, the child has to, you know, always use their inside voices, you know, at the lowest tone. And I'm like, you know, and for me, all of that changed because I was a believer in all of that stuff. But COVID hit, people started freaking out, started getting afraid to breathe, getting afraid to do all these things. And I'm like, but what about the kids? You want us to clam up and the kids clam up too, but yet we're still supposed to teach them and play with them and help them grow and be creative. But yet we're afraid to breathe in. We're afraid to inhale and exhale. So I threw all of that out the window and I was like, come on, kids, we're going to jump. We're going to dance on tables. We're going to, you know, play all sorts of music and dance. And I saw the kids come alive where the rest of the world outside my doors was, you know, hardly anybody driving. Everyone's got a mask. And then I saw the kids and their creativity to their flow of creativity through music, through throwing butcher paper on the floor and crayons and markers and, you know, and just let them go. And I started to see the kids come alive. So I love the fact that your school is loud, but it's loud with the beautiful sound of children. Right. And that is so important. What do you think is your biggest challenge being an owner? I mean, excuse me, being, well, you never know, being a director, a leader of a preschool, of a learning center. What are some of the challenges that you face, right? Everyone faces different challenges for different levels. What are those challenges and what did you do to overcome those challenges?
I think for me personally, the challenge, you know, and we've had this discussion before when we've run into each other and training. Daycare, and it's not what it used to be 20 years ago, right?
Absolutely.
20 years ago, it was so much more different. You know, kids were kids and parents weren't so uptight. And now it seems like you get some bad apples that come into your center sometimes and they expect these miracles. And then when you say, hey, we have expectations and this is a problem. So I'm pulling my kid out. And then, you know, they write this ugly review. Right. They form this opinion because in their head, this is what it's supposed to be. You know, and my favorite's always, they never do that at home.
Okay.
Your child has also been with you through COVID in your house. non-existent to anything else. And now this child is around other children. And yes, they forgot to go potty because they were excited and they soiled themselves. When you're upset about a pair of pants that you can wash.
Yes.
When you should be concerned that your child doesn't have any kind of social skills, which is what we teach.
Yes.
Right. Yes. So all of a sudden, here's this bad review.
Yep.
It's so awful. And I can't believe after one day. And, you know, I have learned, and it was something funny that the owner told me. He said, you know what? He said to me, Hilda, and I said, you know what? I was distraught over when I had first started there over this ugly review. And he said, look, every day you're going to have people hating on you every day.
Yeah.
As a business owner, as a director, as whatever you want to call it. You know, he's a business owner and he owns several businesses. And he said, you're not going to make everybody happy. Tomorrow, it's going to be a bad review at a restaurant, or it's going to be a bad review because something's going to rub them the wrong way and they don't get what they want.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how much they put you out there. The next day, 2-3 days from now, they're going to forget about you and they're going to move on. Yes, right. That's going to stay there. But I guarantee you, you're going to have more reviews that are more positive than that. And he was right. He was right. So that is a struggle for me. For somebody to say something negative about my staff or about our way of care when we know that we love on those kids or whatnot. Parents have a really, really difficult time understanding that when your child is at home, they are one way.
Right.
When your child is around other children and other, you know, they're experiencing all these other things, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's overload for them. And they're going to act a fool sometimes and they're going to do things. And it's part of learning and growing.
Yes.
Right? Us as adults make mistakes. But that has been my biggest challenge is parents who don't understand that. My family, they don't do that at home.
Yes.
Well, of course not, because it's just you.
Yes.
They're bored, you know?
Yeah, and you try to explain that to them, like, you know, just because, you know, your children don't do it at home doesn't mean that they don't do it at all. We're not making it up, right? And we are, you know, letting you know these are some of the behavior things. And it's not to paint them as an ugly picture of parents, but hey, we're a team, right? We're a village for this child, the whole child, right? We have to look at, like, for in your case, you have 120 children. That's, you know, for all intents of this conversation, you have to look at 120 whole child.
Yep.
Right. How can I meet the needs and help these parents with their child, just as we're working together as a, you know, as a team, and parents don't see it that way. No. And, you know, we've talked numerous occasions where we feel like we're the parent. Sometimes not only are we the parent to the child, we're the parent to the parent.
Correct.
And, you know, it's just kind of like, oh my Lord, just, you know, ooh, it's just one of those things. But it also allows the parent to see you really do care about my child.
Right.
You really do. You know, I've had parents call me at 5 a.m. No, I've called them. They wrote something in ProCare at 5 a.m. that they were unhappy about from the day before. I'm on the phone, I'm the owner on the phone at 5:30, talking to them for an hour. Next thing I know, problem solved.
Right.
Just through, you know, simple conversation, conflict resolution, you know, cooler heads prevail, all those things that you and I have been, we're, you know, hate to say it, but we're veterans, we're OGs. We learned, you know, through the process of how to talk to a parent and how to approach a parent and how to wear their comments on our sleeves, right? It don't have to be so tight. It can be very loose. It was just a comment. It didn't mean very much. There are bigger conversations to go after than just, oh, you looked at my kid ugly, when it's like, well, your kid cussed out a kid. We got a bigger situation here. So I like that. So I'm going to save this question for another episode we're going to do, but I'm going to let you know in advance what it is, because it happens to be on my list. What strategies do you use? So I want you to think about this, because this is going to be on another episode that you and I will do about a week and a half from now, because you in your haste of frustration brought this to my attention, and I'm like, okay, this is something we need to do. So I want you to think about this between now and then. So the question is, what strategies do you use to create a positive and inclusive environment for children of diverse backgrounds and abilities?
Oh Lord.
Yes, ma'am. So we're gonna keep that in the arsenal. But I also want to talk about, where do you see this industry going? Where do you see it going? Like, what are some of the things that you keep up with? Where do you see this industry going? There's a lot of outcries for more funding. A lot of outcries against Texas Rising Star, against the, you know, child care licensing and all of their subjectivity when it comes to citations, right, and just the burden, right? It's a burden that we carry. It's no longer a beautiful thing. It's a burden we carry to maintain a business. We don't even get to explore paint anymore, crayons, and nope, and making volcanoes erupt with the kids. We got to worry about the burden. So what are some of the future, you know, just kind of looking ahead, what are some of the future trends or challenges facing the childcare industry? And how do you plan to adapt and innovate in its response?
Well, you know, going back to back in the day when me and you started,
yeah,
we've said this a million times, mm-hmm, being part of Texas Rising Stars was a privilege.
It was a privilege.
Now it's like, everybody's going to have it.
Yeah.
So what are we working for?
Correct. Right?
Like, we're like in this like hamsters in a wheel. We're just going.
Yes.
I think the biggest problem is that we are shying away from what's important.
Yes.
For the whole child.
Yes.
We expect so much from these children. Even in the education system as a teacher, you know, they were more, like I said, when I went back to teaching, I had these COVID babies, right? Like, they mm-hmm hadn't been out of their house, and yeah, they're like, oh, they need to learn to read by January because that's mm-hmm the expectation. Okay. Sammy doesn't even know how to sit in his chair because he's been stuck at home with mom for 2 years.
Right.
So how do you teach that kid to read? Because he can't sit still for 5 seconds.
Right.
So I think as parents, as a parent, right? As a yeah parent, because I'm a parent, mm-hmm, you want the best for your kid.
Yeah.
But I think as a parent, sometimes we damage our children more than we realize because we're like pushing, you know? And I've learned over the years that, you know what? Not all children are made the same.
Right.
We don't all learn the same.
Right.
And I, you know, I tell people, I am not a doctor. I am not a psychologist. I am early childhood. That's yep me. That's me. Yep. All I can tell you is that I know what makes kids happy as far as what they want to learn. And right, if I want them to do what I want them to do, then I need to make it fun. Learning should be fun. Learning should be interesting. Like I said, I yes dropped out of college because why? It was boring to yes me. I don't want to hear you talk. Show me.
Right. Now,
if you ask me, you want to go to a training? I like the hands-on training. Those were fun, yeah, right? I want to go tour pre-K for SA classrooms, and I want to be like, ooh, I'm stealing that yes idea. I want my brain to work. That's what yes kids want. I have this little girl who, she likes to collect rocks on the playground, mm, and she will draw happy faces on them.
Aww.
And every day, she'll give me a rock, and she hands them all to the teachers. We all have like a collection of rocks.
Oh,
but it's because she wants to bring some joy to us, right? That makes her happy.
Yes.
I'm not sitting there asking her, what did you learn today? I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, those are the things that we should hang on to and teach our children. Do what right makes you happy. Because mm-hmm even as adults, we're miserable, right? Like we're, oh my God, I have these lists and I have things to do. And I used to be that person. I used to panic. I used to like, no, it has to be perfect.
Right.
And now with Texas Rising Star, I hate that I have to do it.
Yep.
Because it's not a privilege. Everybody's doing it.
Yes.
Right? So we're like all in this rat race and we're all having to do it. And you're going to send an assessor to my building and you're going to, they're going to tell me if I'm good enough or not.
Yes.
On a scoring system.
Mm-hmm.
Because you expect the teachers to speak to the children a certain way. Like, I get it. It's all very good and we're all learning great stuff, but shouldn't loving on them be more important?
Yeah.
And letting them be who they want to be?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Now you got everybody on pins and needles and I'm over here putting this stupid binder together because, yeah. Oh, you need to see who has what.
Yeah.
I've met plenty of educators who mm-hmm. don't have CDAs that are amazing mm-hmm. people.
Yes.
What about our OGs that still yeah. don't have their CDAs? They're old school. Man, but they are the best employees in yes. that infant room because they're like loving grandmas.
Yes.
My infant room is full with a waiting list. Why? Because I have those kind of people working with me.
Yeah.
With me, not under me, with
yes.
me.
Yes, I love that.
And yeah. so I think that we need to go back to where we started.
I agree.
We need to let children be children. We need to let them have art. We need to let them explore. We need to teach them about cultures,
mm-hmm.
about African-Americans, about Hispanics, about Indians, about everything.
About everything.
When you yeah. throw those books out the door and you start being real,
yep.
I guarantee you those kids will learn so much more than they could ever learn.
Absolutely. And it's bringing real life experiences, right?
Yes.
They're with their parents. And like we just had Fiesta. There was so much culture.
Oh my gosh.
So much enthusiasm,
amazing.
So much food, so much activity and parties and just celebration of all that San Antonio is. So diverse and full of love for food and language and all of those things that make San Antonio great. And there were a lot of schools, and I'm excited. There were a lot of schools who were involved and who had their Fiesta float parades, and they were doing the piñata and all these other different things. And that's what we're used to. And I love that. But you're absolutely right. Going back to the basics, a lot of these owners, they just came on board in the last few years, 10, yeah. 15. For those of us who are 25 and up, man, we've seen the industry change over and over, and it's just like, oh my gosh, now this, now that. And it's just crazy. And you're absolutely right. We had that discussion where Texas Rising Star was a privilege. It was a privilege. It wasn't a mandate. And, you know, for those of you that support it, kudos to you.
Yep.
You must see something bright and shiny that I do not.
I don't. I'll be honest with you. I don't need a piece of paper to. I don't need a piece of paper to tell me I'm 4-star or that my staff is doing amazing. I'm with them
right.
every day.
Exactly.
I know what they're capable of. But now the state
yes.
says you have to, and
yes.
why? Because they're holding that money over our heads
for the subsidy children
in order for us to survive in this
yep.
industry. Because
yeah.
even though we're part of an alliance with Pre-K for SA, are we competing
yes.
with them? Yes, of course we are. Are
Absolutely.
We competing with schools because they're free? They
yep.
offer pre-K? Yes, of course we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're throwing us a bone and we're taking whatever we can because are there benefits to it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But would I do it if just to do it? No.
Mm-hmm.
No, because now you're telling me that I'm not good enough unless I change, unless I call, you know, the Science Center, you know, a different name.
Right.
You're telling me that they shouldn't do this and they shouldn't do that, but they should do this and they can do this. And you're coming and telling me how to run my center. And
right.
that is the very first thing that I told the owner. Don't tell me how to run my center because you're not there. So
right.
how are you going to come in? You know, so I think it's making it really difficult for all of us to even
Absolutely.
Say how many centers have closed.
Yes.
Because they don't want to deal with it.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I was in a room with an assessor, with a mentor, and they, you know, she introduced herself and I was like, hey, nice to meet you. I'm not a fan of y'all. I really don't like y'all. Or no, I think I said I hate. And she was very salty. Like I said, I hated her. She took it way personal and she made comments after, you know, throughout her being there. And I looked at her and I was like, you surely can't think that everybody is on board with how special Texas Rising Star is. Surely you can't think that we should all bow down to Texas Rising Star when that does not define me as an educator. That doesn't define, that doesn't define how much I love these children. I can take the, we can take the kids on a nature walk and they'll learn more on that nature walk than they would in a classroom.
Absolutely. And then let's, I mean, that's just scratching the surface. What about, what about employees, staff?
Yes.
It's become so intimidating that it's difficult to find, you know, and I'm all for the Pre-K First Hand Alliance and I am not, you know me. You cannot censor me at all.
Right.
And I will say the reason I'm doing this is because I know that I can better the lives of my employees. And just now, while I'm on this podcast, received a picture of one of my younger employees who is only 20 and has a heart of gold and just received, who just graduated from her CDA program. So you'll be doing her assessment, of course.
Yay, of course.
And the smile on her face says it all.
That's awesome.
And this is, you know, for me, I know personal journeys of every one of my employees. They've all had a personal journey. We all have personal things in our lives. And if I can help them achieve those goals, then I'm going to do it. But man, let me tell you, because of what's required, it's so hard to hire now.
Absolutely.
Because all I'm thinking is, man, if I hire this person, man, she's so good, but she doesn't have a CDA.
Yep.
How am I going to score higher? You know what I mean? Like that's, it's making it really hard for us. It really is. And I think it's really unfair.
Yeah, it is making.
Yeah. That they get, you know, and I mean, I think that we need more funding. I don't think people realize how difficult it is to run these centers.
Right.
You know, I don't think they realize that, you know, it's not 1988 anymore or 1990 and we're paying, you know, whatever the cost of living, everything's gone up.
Yes.
And we're also competing with other centers. We're competing with those fancy cookie cutter schools. I call them cookie cutter schools that have all the fancy stuff. And it looks like you're walking into an institution.
Right.
We're competing with those people. You know, and nothing against them. They're freaking beautiful centers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But are they better than us? No.
Mm-mm.
No. And so I think they say that it's not a competition. It definitely is a competition.
It most certainly is.
It's a competition to stay afloat. It's a competition to staff. It's a competition to just everything in general.
Right.
We're scrambling because we're trying to do the best that we can. And we, unfortunately, we're all trying to score that 4 because you said that we have to, because my neighbor down the street has a 4 and I'm going to get a 3. Like, that means she's going to get all the enrollment, right? Because all the parents see is the number.
Yep.
They don't see anything else. They just see what they can see in front of them.
Yeah.
And I feel like that hurts a lot of the centers.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's almost like, you know, I've had him say that they will push those 4-star centers ahead of the 3s and the 2s.
Yes.
So already.
Already.
So already you're showing partiality when you're not, why that just because there are 2 doesn't mean that they're worthy of 4. You can just do the binder to perfection and be a 2, but that don't mean that you're not quality. That don't mean you don't love the children. Like that gives a God complex, and that's out of line. That's out of order. And so, you know, I just sit back and watch because, you know, we've been in it for a very long time. And I, you know, the song says, don't believe the hype. I don't believe the hype.
Exactly.
You know, because my parents, when they come on board, they're not asking if we're TRS or for quality.
They're not.
They're more concerned with, is my child going to have fun? Is my child safe?
Exactly.
Absolutely. You are more than welcome to come and take a look anytime you get ready. You're more than we keep the door locked, but you're more than welcome to come and hang out with us anytime.
Anytime.
Really? Yeah. We're having a party. Come hang out.
Yeah.
We have nothing to hide, right? If it's messy and dirty, it's because that's just the day it was.
We were having fun.
Exactly. We see creativity. Oh yeah, the child wrote on the wall. Yeah, she didn't want to write on the paper. It wasn't good enough for her. The wall was. It's fine. We'll paint over it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's just a lot that we as leaders have to teach the community about early childhood, right? We've got to teach them that, man, early childhood is amazing. What are you talking about? Like, this is the greatest thing, you know, in the world. Now, there are some challenging days.
Of course.
Challenging days where you're just going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to work for a morgue. Don't nobody talk. Everybody lay there. They do what they're supposed to do. Just lay there. You're not here. So, so this industry is definitely one that is in the news.
Yes.
We've been more in the news now, you know, in the last 2 or 4 years than we ever have. And so good publicity is always great, always wonderful to have. But, you know, there's just a lot to consider with this industry. So in our final remarks, because we've got 10 minutes in our final remarks, what is one thing that you would say and keeps you going about this profession? Because there's a lot happening. So what's the one thing that keeps you going?
I'm making a difference in somebody's life.
Ooh.
I'm making a difference in these kids' lives. And, you know, in the past 2 years, I have, and not just these past 2 years, but just as long as I've been in the childcare industry, you come across so many walks of life, so many moms, so many dads, so many situations, right? That, man, it hits home sometimes. And maybe you have a child that drowned and passed away, or maybe there's custody battles, and we are that safe haven for those kids.
Yeah. Right?
Structure is important. Routine is important for them. And that's what we offer, routine and structure. And when they walk in those doors, that makes me feel good because I know I can protect them from everything else that's going wrong in their life.
Yeah.
No, and they do the same for me. I can tell you, I've had some lows in this in this career where I just want to throw my hands up and say, you know what, I'm done. I'm done. What am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have moments like today. I had a little girl in my office telling me, you know, she doesn't feel good, and I let her put my hoodie on, and she was cold, and her mom came, and as she's walking out the door, I said, I'll see you. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow. And she runs back and she says, Miss Hilda, thank you for taking care of me.
Aww.
I like that you take care of me, and I love you so much. Those moments
are
all worth it. Those little moments, those little things that I could comfort her when her mom wasn't there means the world to me. You know why? Because I hope and pray that somebody is doing that for my daughter.
Yeah.
That because I'm not with her all the time. And granted, my daughter's a teenager and she's moody and whatever. But when she was little, I would hope that somebody would treat my child the same way.
Right. Yes.
So those little moments are what makes me keep going. They are my why. The picture that I just got of my employee with the huge smile on her face.
Aww.
That is my why. The things we do, it's because of them, because we're a little work family.
Yeah. You know,
they are my work family. My employees aren't just my employees. They are my family.
Yeah.
And that is what keeps me going every day.
Yeah.
That, you know, the headaches, the late night phone calls, the early morning phone calls, the complaints, and how do I fix this to take care of everybody?
Yes.
It keeps me going.
And then when we go to alliance meetings and trainings and conferences, I tell people all the time, because we give out so much, we give. I'm wondering who's plugging me in, right?
Yeah.
I'm giving part of my skin on my arm and my leg and this and that and all the places, but where am I? And so when I go to conferences, whether it's out of the state or if it's in state, that's where I get plugged. That's where I get filled. And people don't, and this is a whole nother conversation right here, but I get frustrated when, you know, people in our city do not go to conferences.
Yes.
Get out, go, like they, and then they say, oh, where was this? Oh, I would have loved to have gone. You got to get out there. You got to get involved. You got to find out, because it, you're not, we don't get the stuff that's out there in our industry. We're not going to get it in San Antonio. People don't believe me. You're not.
Exactly.
You need to pay the money, venture out to Dallas, venture out to Houston, venture out of you're going to it's going to blow your mind.
And you're absolutely right on that. And I am guilty of that. And right now, because of Texas Rising Star, it's so hard to leave, because you've got people coming in, you know, and I cannot wait for this stuff to be over, because I want to go through things. You know, like you said, this is my time to recharge.
Yes. And I love that. And so, if you're in Texas, I challenge you to go to the TLCCA conference. I challenge you to go to the TACI. Go to the those that love Texas Rising Star. They got two more opportunities for a conference in Houston, and then go to the Texas School Ready conference. Like there, I can, even though it's a lot of money, you're going to meet vendors that might help enhance your school. Yes. You're going to meet other educators that you can connect with, other owners, other directors who are like, hey, can I lean on you? Can I get some ideas from you? I've got this. I would love to. And then you start to collaborate. Then we're going into collaboration. Now we're going into partnership. Hey, I'll come to your school and train or whatever. If I'm a you come to mine, whatever. And next thing you know, we've got an alliance, right? So just by going to that conference, I've made three different connections and three different ventricles of this profession that's going to make me a better leader. It's going to make my staff better teachers. And people don't get that. And they complain. And I'm like, well, at this point, it's like, okay, well, if you're not going to go, then stay complaining.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and I think you're so right. I think we need to stop looking at it as a competition and just really, really be there for each other, because nobody understands it better than a director, right? Because we wear so many hats.
Yes.
You know, we don't just sit in a desk and, oh, I'm going to solve everybody's problems. No, you're a painter, you're a nurse, you're a friend, you're everything in one, and you're being pulled in 100 different directions. And people don't see that. They don't see that, you know, you invest yourself, and while it's very gratifying, it's exhausting.
Right.
Mentally and emotionally exhausting.
Right.
And I feel that, you know, like you said, you go to these trainings, you go to these, all these amazing things, you know, I always laugh because I'll jump on Facebook and I'm like, well, Rashawn's in Dallas. Let's you know. And it's like spinning that wheel. Where's Rashawn going to land tomorrow? You know, she's out there and she's sharing her knowledge. And I love it. I love it because I'm learning from her. We learn from each other.
Yes. And that's glad you said that. And I tell people all the time, and even when I did my episode, even though I'm all these things, I'm always a student first and foremost.
For sure.
Like I can run a classroom with my eyes closed. I can think of ideas off the top of my head to do art projects and stuff, but there is a whole nother side. There is the business side. There is the, you know, the tour ready side, the enrollment side, all those different aspects that I'm not very good at, but give me a classroom, give me a curriculum, I got you covered. I'll change that whole curriculum around. Why? Not because I went to school for it, but because there's a side that this industry tapped into, the creative side.
Correct. And
I love that.
Like I said, we all bring something to the table. You know, I have always said I'm very rough around the edges, and Rashawn's known me for years, and I've been, I'm a very tough love kind of woman. I am very just, you know what, get it done. I am the no BS kind of director, not in a mean way, but I'm going to push you to be better than you think you are, you know, and expectations are there. The line is drawn. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
And if you can't, then ask me and I'll help you. You know, absolutely. We all have our strong suits. We all have something we bring to the table, and it's okay not to know. It's okay to learn, and it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it doesn't say anything bad about you because you do.
No,
it doesn't say. And I have to learn that. And I still have to learn that because I have a high expectation for myself.
Right.
I still have to humble myself and say, hey, like I had, like we texted the other day, this and this is going on.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, ugh, I knew that wasn't my specialty.
Right.
And then having gone to the Julie Bella class, I'm just like, oh my God, I need to work on this, that, and the third. But being around other people gave me an extra shield of like, I got this.
Right.
To be able to have those tough conversations or right. be able to handle the things that come with wearing all these hats.
Yes.
It ain't cute wearing all these hats.
No, it's not. It's exhausting and it's yes. hard because yeah. you're talking to another human being, you're giving feedback, and sometimes people don't receive feedback very well, you know, and that's the bad end of it, you know, and sometimes we have to be the bad guy, you know,
yeah,
and that's not fun. That's not fun at all.
It is not, you know, and it's just interesting. This profession is just so interesting. And, you know,
unpredictable.
And very unpredictable, but we go with the flow, right? That's how the old school taught it. And we gonna talk about that one day also, because this new group, you know, I'm like, y'all, you know, and the funny thing is they used to tell us, y'all don't know nothing about nothing. Now here we are telling them.
Here we are telling them, yeah. You know, everybody's whining.
Everything we did was by paper and by hand.
Yes, ma'am. Everything from paperwork to...
Yes, girl. Yes.
Yeah, they have no idea. The struggle is real.
No, and we didn't have laminators, and we didn't have die cut machines, and we had to do it by hand.
Exactly. And come up with, you know, how am I going to cut out 20 butterflies at one time and save me some time? Like, you know, like we did it old school. And yeah. now you have yeah. these people who are, I've been working 4 hours and I'm so exhausted. Really?
Girl.
Oh, my eighth hour, get out of here, you know, but you know, that's a story for another time for sure.
Yes. There's a lot to unpack there, but we are going to table this and we will definitely come back to this because there is so much to unpack and Hilda and I go way, way back. And so we are definitely going to make this a regular because I think a lot of people need to hear what the OGs have to say. They need to hear, and we've got all the new stuff and great, and that's wonderful. But what if the internet goes down? Okay. Yep. Do y'all still know how to do attendance? What if, you know, this happened? Do you still know how to use a rotary phone? Like, you know, all these different things that we had to do, even though that's old school and people dismiss old school, but old school was the first school. Old school set the tone for what we're doing now. And we can't forget about it. We can't forget about that.
Exactly. So it's like we said, going back to basics.
Yes. We have to. We can't not forget about the basics.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
Where, if they wanted to contact you because you're just the boss and the bomb.com and they really wanted to get more insight from you, because I heard you say, and I'm going to pump you up real quick because I am not a gatekeeper. I heard you say that you are an enrollment person. You are good at enrolling. And I know there's a lot of programs that you can spend a lot of money to enroll and they will do your enrollment and help you and all that stuff. But
yes,
I heard you say you are an enrollment. And to me, when a person says, I got this, I can do this. I mean, you started out with what you said, 30 or 50.
30
or 40,
kids.
And then in a year and a half, you were at 120. And
yes,
you didn't pay no money to have someone do that. So some of y'all are wasting money doing all these enrollment platforms when all you got to do is call Hilda.
Call me. I got you.
She will show you and tell you how to enroll. You don't got to spend $500 a month on all these perks to enroll and maybe get two or three enrollments from it. You just wasted money that you're not going to get back. So how can, if they really were interested in like, man, I've got to talk to this woman. She can enroll. I don't know. Someone might be in the UK that wants to know about enrollment. How do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can always reach me on my phone. My number is 210-279-1659. They can call me, send me a text, and we can chat it up. Or they can email me at Bella, Bella, 41309 at yahoo.com.
Ooh.
They can always contact you. You know where to find me.
Yes. Absolutely. And like I said, I don't gatekeep. So if you can't get a hold of her and you're like, I've got to talk to this woman, I will hook you up with a Zoom call where y'all can Zoom together and talk
Absolutely.
About that. The old school method will always work, right? Because
Absolutely.
It was the original method. The newer methods, as it changes, it's not stable. So as the internet changes, so is that method. But the old school method will always be the same because it didn't involve technology, which could always go down. We all figured that out when AT&T, you know, went out. So, you know, if you are interested and you're like, man, I want some organic tours. I want some organic on onboarding and all that, call Hilda. Like I, you know, the way we talking on this podcast is the way we talk all the time. And then some. Like, we're not giving you the real, real, we're not giving you the real, real, but we're giving you one real, right?
Exactly.
We can't expose all of our cards, but we have honest, genuine conversation all the time. And it's amazing for us to be able to reconnect all these years and still, you know, pick up right where we left off. Like, you wouldn't think any time has passed. Where you know we still hang out, we talk, we laugh, we still, you know, sit, you know, I we get in trouble sometimes or whatever the case might be, but that's what happens when you're with among friends, right? You're among people that are just like you. Awesome. Okay, all righty, guys, so thank you guys for joining us. You know, we totally forgot to celebrate Teacher Appreciation Week because it's this episode is going to be aired during Teacher Appreciation Week. And I'm going to actually read to you what she said she is going to do for her teachers. I got to scroll and find it. So you said, I'm not going to read everything, but you have a budget for your teachers, right. A budget of $25 per teacher, which that's amazing all in itself. You're going to do different gifts for them daily, like food. And you're also going to do an emergency spa package, packet for them. And they, that can has all little girly stuff. And so you found some really cool things and some bulk. I think I might know what you're talking about. How you found some cool items on Amazon. I found some cool teacher. I'm into teacher novelty stuff. And you can always go to Amazon and find cute little makeup bags with teacher stuff, work bags, bracelets, notepads, pens, all kind of stuff just to show the teachers that you love them. She also mentioned about ice cream sundaes one day, which that's always appropriate, and a gift card to Dutch Bros. Dutch Bros, though your coffee titles are weird, y'all are still amazing. We love Dutch Bros.
Yes, we do.
So, so all right, everyone. So thank you for joining me for this episode for the week, for the day. We've got more guests coming to help us celebrate Teachers Appreciation Week, and also talk about their journey in early childhood and how they have navigated all the different things. Like tonight, we talked about the pandemic. We talked about Texas Rising Star. And it's a free-for-all conversation. There isn't bullet points of verbatim how this conversation would go. It's talking with friends who we connected through the love of children. And so you can also check out our Facebook page, Early Childhood Coach with the Child Care Experience. I do post the episodes there. We might be going live and having some discussions on that Facebook page. You can also email me at childcaremedia@yahoo. We're located on most podcast platforms. Just search for us and subscribe. We always love when we get subscribers, and we always love when people give their feedback. So we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you want to, what do you want us to talk about? We're going to bring Hilda back. We're going to have other guests. We might do a panel that might go, you know, for a little bit, just so that way other educators can have a platform to spread their message of love and of peace. So in our final remarks, I'm going to let Ms. Hilda have, what is your one word that keeps you going?
My one word.
Man, your one word.
Bella.
Ooh.
She keeps me going. Everything I do and how I think and how I carry myself has everything to do with that.
Yes, and she is a beautiful young lady who loves her and is proud of her mom when her mom doesn't do the things that she would normally do when she gets upset. And Bella is proud of her mom for that. And I am too, because I've seen her upset. And so.
Yeah, we know that doesn't turn out well. But you know what, though? Also, I want to say how proud I am of you.
Aww.
That how far that little 16-year-old girl that was crying because somebody told her she didn't know what she was doing. And this whole time it was that adult who should have been your mentor.
Yeah.
That was trying to tear you down. And that's not the way we should mentor. That's not the kind of people we should be to our staff, to our families or anything like that. But I just wanted to tell you that after all these years, I am so proud of you and the woman that you've become and everything you've done. You're just awesome, Rashawn. Like, you're just such a great person. Aww. And I'm honored to be on your podcast and giving me this opportunity. You know, I'm not, again, rough around the edges. You know me, I don't candy coat it for anybody. And what you see is what you get. And, you know, I'm glad that I was able to do this with you.
I'm glad to have you. And this is something that's definitely going to be a regular because, you know, there's a lot to talk about and a lot. So in my closing, and Hilda's still on with, we want to talk why I ended up leaving that program. And it had a lot to do with how things were handled towards me. We had a little girl, and I don't know if you remember, Hilda, but we had a little girl who in the tiny tots room, she had the worst diaper rash I had ever seen. And they lived in the same townhomes as my mother and as my family. And I remember I followed the chain of command because I was always bad about that. I was like, let me go to the source, forget the chain of command. And I remember I told you about it. And so you was like, I'll handle it. And I started seeing it. And so then I went to the supervisor and told her. And then I'm like, okay, it's still happening. And I ended up talking to the mom. And that's when and even to this day, when I tell that story, I like the Snickers commercial, I have no regrets about doing what I did. I told the mom, like, I followed the protocol. I followed the chain of command. And not that you didn't do your job or that the other person didn't, but I started to see, wow, there's something happening here. This little girl, you know, I will never forget what I saw. And do you know, and of course you do, but I got fired.
Yep.
I got fired because I went to the mom, but I also followed the chain of command and it hurt. I had to leave and it jeopardized my school program, but we still worked it out. And I don't regret that now. I don't regret that to this day, because someone had to advocate for that child, right? And you go to the source. I went to the parent as a 16-year-old. I'm like, hey, you might want to look at this. You know, your child isn't being taken care of the right way, and this is the reason why these things keep occurring. And the mom was so appreciative. She didn't look at me like, oh, you're a 16-year-old. What do you know? She was appreciative because I was there. I saw what happened. I was in that moment and seeing how this little girl was being treated. And that was my first time I'd ever been fired working in not my first time, but that was the first time I had been fired at a childcare center. And I remember like, man, how did I end up losing when I did the right thing for this child?
Right.
How did I end up the bad guy standing up for this little girl? That doesn't make any sense.
You did what you're supposed to do. Advocate for them.
Yes.
You know, you did exactly what you were supposed to do. And, you know, it turned out the way it did. And I wasn't far behind right after that, you know, because I fought to keep you. And I was met with, well, if you don't like it, well, I don't. So bye.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you learn a lot from the people around you. You sit back and you watch and you learn what you don't want to be.
Right. Absolutely. And you think about, you know, I could have took it a step further and called the state, right? Because mandatory reporters, even if it's within your own employment.
Exactly.
And everyone back then, chain of command was important, right? You followed the chain of command or you were a troublemaker.
Exactly.
And so I did that and I still came out a troublemaker.
Right.
So, because, you know,
people don't. You know, it's funny because at that time, like I said, this person who was higher than us, had no business doing what she was doing. She treated it as a customer, wasn't even a complaint. You just went against her wishes and that irked her the wrong way. She didn't like your feedback.
Yeah.
You know, and you did the right thing and she thought she was right. And unfortunately, you run into people like that a lot.
Yes.
But I am so proud of that you stuck to your guns.
Yeah.
And you did what was right, you know?
Yeah.
Regardless of what it cost you, you didn't jeopardize your integrity or anything like that. You did what was right for that child.
Yeah. And it was hard, right? Because I fell in love with the kids. We had, you know, fun with summer camp and, you know, the pool and Brent.
Our beautiful lifeguard, yes. That was amazing.
And it was a lot of fun, but you know, there have been several times even after that where advocacy became like my niche, and it got me in trouble, and so it's like, well, let me get in trouble for it professionally now. So now I teach others how to advocate and be a voice for children and be a voice for these parents and these families.
Exactly.
All right, y'all. Well, we have talked your ear off long enough, and we are 75 minutes into this, and it's been an amazing conversation with my friend, and I appreciate her for doing this for, you know, our Teacher Appreciation Week and our podcast relaunch week. And it's always a privilege to be in her presence. I mean, it's always a privilege. It's so much fun. It's never a dull moment at all. We know how to walk in our own in our own lane, but in the same space. And we don't down, I don't down her because she's not an owner. She doesn't look at me like, oh, she's, you know, she's hoity-toity because she is an owner and I'm a director. It is not like that, because I always tell people we're one moment away from being back in the classroom.
Very true. Very true. Very true. And you know, that's a great message to send even for us as directors. Remember who runs your school. Remember who not so much runs it, but remember who makes it work, who's doing the hard part.
Yeah.
Our job is hard, but theirs is harder.
Absolutely. And we can never be too far removed.
Nope.
To say, oh, I would never, like, I don't want to go back in the classroom only because I have other responsibilities.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean that, hey, I'll be like, hey, you know what? Why don't you work in the office? We're going to go and make paper plates and paper bowls, whatever we're going to make. We won't do it. Y'all can go in there, right? And just be one with the kids, right? And some owners have forgotten how to do that. And some owners have never stepped foot in the classroom. They have no idea what the troubles are like, you know? So, so anyway, guys, thank y'all for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we appreciate you being with us for this podcast. I am Rashawn, your host. I am your early childhood coach with a child care experience. Remember, be good to yourself, be true to those kids, and have fun. We'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Rashawn, your early childhood coach with a child care experience. Thank you for joining my podcast. You can find us on the following social media platforms: Facebook under ECE Coach with a Child Care Experience. You can also find me at the Early Learning Child Care with Owners and Directors Real Talk Facebook group, as well as you can email me at childcaremedia@yahoo.com, or you can simply call me up. My number is 210-749-2865.